I'd like to use some scripture this morning out of the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. If I have a thought this morning that I would like for you to remember, I think it would be what the Lord would say to each one of us. You do your work, and I'll take care of mine. You do your work, and I'll take care of mine. Now, the truth of the matter is that we cannot do our work without His help. But there is some work for each one of us to do, and we have the responsibility to do it. One of the things that I've learned over the years is that I don't have to worry very much about whether or not the Lord will take care of His job. He gets it done. I kind of debated with the word whether I want to use work or job or business or just what. And any of those kind of will fit, and sometimes, but some of them seem a little harsher than others. But the bottom line is that there are some things for us to do as His children. And there are some things that we need to let God take care of. But the part that we have to do is important, but we need His help even to get that done. I want you to note that the ninth chapter of the book of Acts begins with the conversion of Saul. And that's the part that I want to talk about this morning for a little bit. And I want to read about half of that chapter. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus through the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, it's important that you remember a couple of things here. Number one, it is important for you to remember that it doesn't take the Lord forever to get a job done. It does not take Him nearly as long as it takes us. And He can do things quicker than you can snap your finger, but He also can do things over a period of time. So we need to understand, first of all, that God can work with individuals in all kinds of situations and different times and different places and different ways, as He did with Saul, who was intent at this point in time that he was going to go down and he was going to find people that he could imprison for serving and worshiping the Lord. But the Bible said, suddenly, as he was on his journey, there was a light from heaven, and that when he saw that light, he fell to the earth. Now, I hear preachers get up, and I hear people get up and talk about how the Lord knocked him down. The Lord didn't knock him down. He fell. He fell. And there's a reason, there's a difference in being knocked down and falling down. I've had both experiences. It's a lot more unpleasant to be knocked down than it is to fall down. Usually, if I've been knocked down, it is not a good experience. There have been some times whenever that I have truly fallen, and it's not clumsiness, it's just sometimes that the power of God is so overwhelming that you just, you know, you've got to go to your knees. That's a good experience. Doesn't happen nearly often enough for me, but there have been some times, but there is a vast difference. And so whenever I hear people get up and say, oh, the Lord knocked him down, listen, he went to his knees, but it was under the great fear and the power of God Almighty. And then I want you to notice this, as the Lord spoke unto him, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It wasn't to any of those other men who were there. There were some other people there. God is very specific. God speaks directly to the individual, saved and unsaved alike. God does not leave a person in doubt. Every one of us is a child of God. And listen, right now I'm going to talk about how God is working with this man by the name of Saul. And what's going to happen here? You already all know the whole story, but there are some things that we need to understand this morning about what's going on. Saul falls to the earth, and he hears God, he hears a voice speaking unto him, saying, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" There wasn't any question about who heard the voice. God does not leave us in darkness nor in ignorance. God is a perfect leader. God is one who knows exactly what the whole plan is. And He has a purpose in every one of our lives and a work for each one of us. For lost people, He is a perfect leader for them. Many times, whenever that we're working with lost people, are always looking at me as the pastor, looking at the evangelist, and "Why don't you guys do something?" Let me tell you something this morning. There are only a certain number of things that we have the power to do. And not a single one of us have the power to save a single individual. That is one of the things that God has reserved for Himself. And I assure you this morning that we don't need to try to be meddling in His part of the work. He'll take care of it. He is a perfect leader. He does lead them by the Spirit to the foot of the cross to where they can be saved. And sometimes what I need to do as a child of God is to say, "Lord, I know that You're taking care of Your business. Help me to take care of mine. I have some work to do. I have some business to take care of." But sometimes it's not what you think. Sometimes yours is not what I expect. Sometimes yours is going to be different than what I might have thought it should have been. But now listen. "Why persecutest thou me?" And listen to what it says. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord? Who are you? I don't understand." Let me tell you something this morning. We as God's children have got to understand that lost people do not know what is going on. They don't understand about conviction and conversion. All they know at that time is God is speaking to their heart. And they know it's their heart. They don't have to ask anyone else. They don't have to ask you. They don't have to ask me. God lets them know that. See, sometimes we want to take care of God's business instead of letting Him take care of His business. And we need to be taking care of our business that He's given us to do. And we don't want to do that. We'd much rather be God. Joyce talked this morning about Satan. Let me tell you something. Satan is a roaring lion today. I'll guarantee you he's at work today more than he's ever been. Don't you doubt it for a second. Doing everything he can because he knows his time is limited. He knows that his domain is limited. He knows that the only time that even with God's people that he can get any good out of them is while they're here. But I'll guarantee you this one thing. If you think for a single second that he cares about any of them, you got another thing coming. Because he's going to end up in the fires and the flames of hell, just like every other soul that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ and fails to come to him to be saved. That's according to his word. Yeah. He'll get you as long as he can. Do everything he can to keep you in his possession. But when it comes to the end, he'll forsake you quicker than you can imagine. I serve one who teaches in his word, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." But I also serve one that I know according to the word of the Lord that I'm in a minority. Not the majority, but that's okay. I've got the right one. I've got the person who is perfect. He spoke unto to Saul. When Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" I don't know what to do. Lost people do not know what to do. Now, I can tell them, "You come down here to the altar and we'll pray for you." I can tell them, "You seek the Lord with all your heart. I can tell them what the scripture says, but it takes the Holy Spirit of God dealing in their hearts and their lives to get the job done. Watch the clock, because I'm going to spend about half my time on getting solid. Then I'm going to get over to y'all. Yeah, so get uncomfortable real quick. God is dealing with Saul. Saul says, what shall I do? What shall I do? Who are you? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Uh-oh. Somebody else gets in the picture now. You know, God is so powerful and so good, and I get so excited sometimes when I think about what he's doing here. See, he's not only out here where Saul is. He's not only out here talking to him and saying, listen, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He's talking to somebody else off down here and telling them, you get ready, because I'm going to send you somebody, and you've got a job that you need to do. Yeah, the Lord doesn't work in one place. He's not limited to just being here at Elkton Baptist Church. He's not just limited to dealing with me as a preacher. He's not just limited to two or three of you. He can deal with every single one of us, as well as these people out here that we don't even know about. We've got this old attitude anymore of out of sight, out of mind. Church does it all the time. I tell them that every time we have a business meeting, they want to get somebody to do something. They look around to see who's there. And that's usually who they end up getting. So you people who don't come to the business meeting, you probably get exempted most of the time. But that's not good. You've got work to do too. Anyway, the Lord says to Saul, you get up and you go down to the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Now listen. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. Paul talks about this later when he's giving his testimony, so you need to go over and read it again. You see, Paul, after he gets converted, he tells about this experience. And you know why he tells about it? Because this is his experience. Do you know why I tell about Wheatland High School? Because that's my experience. You know why you should tell about yours? Because that is your experience. And somebody has decided, well, there's a contradiction here in the Word of the Lord over the way that Paul relates it and the way that it's written here by the writer Luke. Not so. But now listen, the Bible says there were some other men with Saul here, and they're here. And they heard a sound but saw nobody. Now listen. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. If you think for a minute that lost people don't need help, you're just kidding yourself. If you think God left us here and saved us just so we can sit around and sing glory, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you're kidding yourself. God left us here as his children to work, to glorify him, to proclaim the gospel. The commission was to preach the word so that people can be saved. God will take care of the conviction. God will take care of seeing the word gets into their heart. But it takes people to get the job done. He couldn't do it all by himself. He doesn't need us. He can do it all because he's God. But he chose, rather than to do it all, to do his part and left a part for us to do. Now, while Saul's out here on the road and all of a sudden is blind that he can't see and needs someone to help him,
And that's where that many times lost people need help from us as God's children. They need our encouragement. They need our instruction. They need our prayers. But they also need to be sure that they understand we cannot save them. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who can do that. Anyway, they're leading him down here. While he's being led down here, God's also talking to an old boy over here down in the city. Now listen, he's a faithful servant of the Lord. I checked out. There's not much written about this guy. There's very little that's really written about him. It tells so that he was a faithful servant among the Jewish people. And God chose this man. Listen to what he says. And the Lord, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, Ananias. You think there's any question of who it's talking about? Do you think for a single second that whenever God speaks to you that you don't know he's talking to you? He doesn't call me Bill. He doesn't call me Lyndall. He doesn't call me Donald. He doesn't call me anything except Kent. And I know when he says that, he's talking to me. When he talks to you, he calls you by your name. That's according to the word of God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I know my sheep and I call them by name. Yeah, you think old Parson just makes a lot of this stuff up as he goes along. Let me tell you something. This is right out of the word of the Lord. Ananias gets his attention. Old Saul's coming down the road. He's blind. He doesn't know what's going on down here. But the Lord's dealing down here. At the same time he's working with Ananias out here, he's dealing with one of his children down here, one of his servants. And he says, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Listen. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. I want you to get up from where you're at. I want you to go and I'll give you the street address where I want you to go. He'd been lost out here in Hickory County most of the time if they'd had done this. But no, he wouldn't have, because God's a perfect leader and he doesn't mislead anyone. He said, I will tell you what I've got for you to do, Ananias. I want you to get up. And if you study the word of God, the first thing that God teaches about us as his children is to we're to get up and go. Yeah. You know what? Most of the time we want to say is come unto me. The Bible doesn't say come unto me. That's what Jesus says. The Bible says for us to go. Get up and go. We don't want to do that. We want to come to us. We just got the same reverse many times. But listen, Ananias, you get up and you go, and I'm going to tell you exactly where I want you to go. God is a perfect leader. God can be doing more than one thing at a time. And God's going to take care of his part of the job. But he's got other people involved in this whole situation who do not know what's going on in the other part. See, sometimes we think we got to know everything that's going on. Yeah. I'm surprised sometimes when I hear people get up and start talking about prayer requests and Lord, we got to know how many stitches they took in this side and how many cuts they had down this arm and everything. We don't need to know all that. That's not important. What's important is that we need to remember, pray for the person. We don't need all the details. Now, if you feel like that you need to give all the details to somebody, please do it. But the important thing is to be sure that we understand we're supposed to pray. Now, that, I got off my subject there. But you understand what I'm saying is that sometimes we just get this idea that God, he can't take care of things and that we need to. Ananias, you get up and you go down here. And there's going to be an old boy that's going to come in and out of the house. And I've already given him a vision that there's going to be a man who's going to come in and lay his hands on him. Now listen. Listen. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Not just any man's going to come in there. He's seen in a vision a man by the name of Ananias is going to come in there and put his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Now listen, Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind that call upon thy name. No, Lord. I know about this old boy. I've heard about him. You get somebody else. Now, that doesn't say that in there. But that's effectively what's running through his mind right now. Ananias, hey, I know about this old boy. I know what he's coming down here to do. Too many times we want to take care of God's business instead of taking care of our business. God says, Ananias, this is what I want you to do. And there's a reason I want you to do it. You go down there because this guy by the name of Saul has already seen in a vision that Ananias is going to come in here and lay his hands on him that he can receive his sight. No. I don't care whether he receives his sight or not. I know what his reputation is, and I'll probably end up getting taken as a prisoner. Yeah, sometimes our faithfulness is a little shallow. Sometimes we kind of forget how good God is to us and how that He not only worked with us, but He worked with somebody else to be able to get us to where we had our spiritual sight. Paul even recognized that. But now listen. Listen to what the Lord says to Ananias. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, there was one thing I left out that should always be a clue to you. No matter how tough the reputation was of Saul, God gave Ananias a little clue if he had just have known. When the Lord spoke unto Ananias and said, you go down there, because you're going to lay his hand on him. Now, here's what he said right there. And putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. He said, for behold, he prayeth. I'm going to tell you something. I've never found a praying person yet, Stan, that would hurt you. Now, you think about that. A praying person will never hurt you. But you better watch out for the rest of them. Yeah. I don't care what the reputation is. The Lord said to Ananias, this old boy is praying. He's got something seriously wrong. He's lost his sight. And he needs to be able to see. And Ananias, but the Lord said, Ananias, listen, he's a chosen vessel unto me. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house. All he did is just his little part. He hasn't done anything outstanding yet. He just got up as the Lord had told him to do. Went down to the house in the street called Straight to the house of one named Judas. Found one there named Saul of Tarsus, and he went into the house and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way hast thou camest has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. When Ananias came in here and laid his hands on him, and he said, Brother Saul, as the Lord hath appeared unto thee. Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful revelation God had given to this servant of his, who all he did was his little part of going in there and laying his hands on him. Yeah. Not many times in my years have I had the opportunity to lay hands on a man who's been set aside to the office either of a deacon or of a preacher. I started to say pastor, but as a preacher. But what a privilege that is. But I have no power in my hands in doing that. Neither does any of the other men who do that. It all is with the Lord. And we don't endow them with any power when we do that. That's just symbolic of what God has already done. But listen. When Ananias listened to what the Lord said and did what the Lord had for him to do. Such a small thing. You just go in there and lay your hands on him. And when you lay your hands on him, I, the Lord, am going to give him his sight. Yeah. I'll tell you what. If we just take care of our business and let the Lord take care of his, it would be a miraculous things that happen today. We're too concerned about trying to do his business, to run his part, instead of letting him. And you know what? He's got this whole thing in a huge picture that we don't even see. Saul didn't know about Ananias, that he had all God was working with him. Ananias didn't know at the time that God was working with Saul until they told him, yeah, I'm working with him. Now listen, the Bible says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hast sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. What a wonderful, wonderful experience. We need to let God take care of his part, and he will. And we need to ask him to help us take care of our little bit. And it is just a little bit, folks. God, if you think about what all God does for each one of us, I think of this quite often. I think of it more and more all the time. Of what all he does for me and how little I do for him. It really, you know, mine can't even make the scale move compared to what he does. But he's left me a little part to do. He's left you a little part to do. And we should be thankful for that. But most important, we should be thankful that he takes care of the important part. And he knows what's going on in the whole picture. Well, I only see just a little tiny bit of it. I see a speck of it. But he's got it in control. I believe that with everything there is in my heart.